Radio Newark, the home of Radio Newark Sport. Weeknights from 7. Radio Newark Sport. Brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants. For all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
Well, another weekend is coming up fast. So it's time to find out what's going off in the wonderful world of Newark Sport. Time to play the music. Can Flow Serve continue their excellent start to the season? And will Newark Rugby Club get their first victory? Our runners are out in force this weekend, and we've got representatives at the World Junior Triathlon, and lots of representatives at the wonderfully named Ponton Plod. It's the first mini-league cross-country event of the season for Newark Athletic Club. Add to that, tennis championships and swimming. And yes, it's another busy weekend for us. In the studio tonight, two of Notfast's finest, Jeremy and Stuart, and they're telling us all about, and I can't get it out of my head, the Ponton Plod. And who's going to be our first runner of the week in the new season? We find that one out in a few minutes. I do like this time of the year, Tony. Everybody's sort of keen, aren't they? The footballers think they're going to win the league. The rugby players think they're going to win the league. And the hockey players normally do win the league. Swimming's in full flight. Athletics is all gearing up for cross-country when they can all get muddy and really enjoy themselves. Was it your favourite time of year? I'll put that up and then you might be off to answer.
Yeah, that faded, mate. Brilliant.
Oh, it's a good thing, that.
I used to love the cricket season, and then by the time it finished, I was sick and tired of typing out all the South Notts league tables and all the other league tables, and I just about had enough of cricket, and I couldn't wait for football to start. So I was very lucky in that I got two, because by the time that rugby and football had come to a close and the cricket was about to start, that was another excitement. So the great two peaks of the year, every working day for 30 years.
Oh, my heart bleeds for you.
But honestly, this time of season is fantastic.
Everybody's keen, aren't they? Everybody thinks they're going to win something and get the other side of Christmas when everybody knows they're not going to win anything. Mm. It sort of goes downhill quickly.
It always helps when you're with a football club that's won 7 out of 7.
Anyway, to the top stories. I'm going to have to get a sensor button somewhere. There has got to be a sensor button.
You've got the fader.
Dear, our runners have been enjoying the last of the summer and some of the highlights over the past few weeks. Tom Marshall finished 8th in the Leeds Triathlon. Radio Newark favourite Faye Hemingway did the Cleethorpes half marathon, while Nikki Dales completed her first half at Andover. Stacey Atkins completed something rather wonderful called the Rutland Night Swim. Why? And Wyn Thomas ran the Dartmoor Great Escape. Last week saw the Great North Run, and among 60,000 runners were 15 striders and 9 not fasters. Flying that flag for Newark, star of the day was Tom Marshall, who came home a magnificent 141st out of 60,000. That's not bad going, is it?
This is Radio Newark Sport.
I've got a couple more stories as well, but I'll come back to them a bit later because it's Friday night football for you. Mm. Now, of course, everybody knows that Flow Serve, as Tony just pointed out, I've won 7 out of 7, and there's a bonus for winning 7 out of 7. You get Mr. Smith on the backroom staff because you're successful.
As a Berwick Rangers fan, how can you say that? Yeah, I'm not a glory hunter exactly, am I?
Yeah.
We lost to Edinburgh City.
Friday night football. I like Friday night football.
I do if you finish work at 3 PM.
Here indoors likes it because it means I'm around on Saturday afternoon. So there's a drawback to everything.
Cut your fence somewhere for it.
Oh, I will. Don't.
Poor
don't
Sharon.
Worry. Right, because all you talk about is Newark R&M and Newark Flow Serve.
And RHP.
Our guests are already here. Nice and early, because Ernie Clark told him the wrong time. Slap on the wrist for Ernie. Stuart, welcome. Welcome back. It's yours. Second time, I think, in the studio.
Yes, but, it is, yes. It was an awful long while ago.
Very, very welcome.
In the studio.
I think you are actually the brainchild behind this pont and plod.
Yes, myself you and my wife, yes.
So you can tell us all about that a bit later. Yes. And with you is a Radio Newark favourite, regular, Jeremy's here in his Not Fast top.
Yes,
so he's supporting the Not Fast. Great turnout by both clubs at the Great North Run.
Yeah, they did really well, yeah. I think they all did good times, all happy with it. And and one of our runs at AD Dix got on TV going past, I think, the interview with Mo Farah. So it was all good stuff.
Oh, excellent stuff. That's the second time this week Mo Farah's been mentioned, isn't it? Because we have every Tuesday night, we have Amber Owens on from the Athletic Club.
Yes.
Yeah. And Amber tells us what's going off, and her and her twin sisters find themselves having a picture with Sir Mo Farah, that's one sort of yes.
We call him Sir Mo Farah.
Oh, she called him Mo.
Amber calls him Mo.
I got a picture with Mo. Yeah. We call him Sir. It's when you're well in, isn't it? Okay, so you chaps are going to join in on subjects that you know as much about as what we do.
Yeah,
football, rugby, greyhound racing, cricket,
most things.
We spoke on Tuesday about a Welsh cricket match. Can you remember the top two teams in the Pembroke Cricket League?
Yeah.
Basically, it was almost a final because the winner of that last league match, won the cricket league.
Mm.
The team that was top, Carlow, declared on 18-1 after two overs.
Mm-hmm.
That meant the other side couldn't get enough bonus points to overtake them and win the league.
Tactics.
Now, it's quite clearly within the rules, but is it within the spirit? We asked the captain of Newark Cricket Club, Newark R&M Cricket Club, on Tuesday night what he would have done, and I think he'd rather not ask us the question, to be honest. But it turns out now, Carlow Cricket Club and their captain have been charged by the Pembroke Cricket League with bringing the game into disrepute. Now, unless they deduct him points, it's a waste of time, isn't it? Because if you fine him £20 and give him a two-match ban, it's a complete waste of time because objective have been achieved.
Yeah.
Is bringing the game into disrepute, even though you've not broke a rule?
It is my duty as a qualified umpire to make sure that the game is played within the spirit of the game, and that clearly wasn't.
Okay, let me put it over to these two fine gentlemen. If you've not broken any rules, have you done anything wrong?
Well, no, you haven't done anything wrong, but as you say, it's within the spirit of the game, and people go to see, especially if they charge. I mean, obviously, I don't know if people charge to go and see that, and there's also other interests there. You actually go and play a game of cricket. I mean, that sounds like a dart match, really. 118. 118. Put the figures together, but yes, it's but there again, you can say that their aim is to become top of that league or whatever, and they may have then been qualified to go to somewhere else or promotional, so it's money.
I can't quite get my head around this one. Stuart, what are you?
I'm in agreement with Jeremy, really. It's not in the sport of it sort of thing, but you can see why it was done, and you know, if it's going to promote them to further up the chain sort of thing, then obviously that's why they did it. But
in my previous life of sitting on disciplinary committees and doing things like that, you know, if it's not black and white, you can't find him guilty.
It depends what sort of rivalry there is between the two clubs. If the two are at loggerheads, if it's a local derby or whatever, then you can understand why it would be done, but otherwise
it was first against second. How much more rivalry can you have?
No, but I mean, if it was a team from far away, then it was I don't know. I just
think, no, this is the trouble. None of us really know.
I just think if you as a cricketer have battled to get the afternoon off from the wife, then why waste it by just having a sort of playing four or five overs?
I didn't even think the Welsh played cricket. So.
Unless you get into the bar earlier, in which case I'm all with them.
Got to get past you then.
Well, maybe the other side should have declared one for one and worked out the odds on that.
So. One story that has missed us this week, Notts County is second in Division 2. There was top for a few hours before Exeter won. I'm pleased because they've been in the doldrums.
Oh, yeah.
And they deserve more than they've had lately, and it looks now, it finally looks like they're going to have a good season. And for the 14 supporters they've got, that's fantastic.
I bet they're both delighted.
I bet they are.
It's only September.
Yeah, they're probably peaking now.
But having followed Notts County as a reporter through thin and thin, I'm absolutely thrilled for them because it's a lovely club. Notts County, very much like Berwick Rangers, fantastic club, absolutely brilliant. The trouble is when they cross that white line, it all goes wrong.
Which white line is that?
the touch line.
The winner of Ireland's top greyhound race is in trouble. The Irish Greyhound Board... What are you laughing at?
Just the combination of Ireland and greyhounds. Go on.
The Irish Greyhound Board said Clubunan Hero was found to have traces of cocaine in his urine on two occasions. One of the tests was after the dog won the Irish Laurels final in Cork. The IGB have withheld the £26,000 prize money and banned the dog from racing until it has been passed clear. Clubrune's Heroes trainer, Graham Holland, said the traces of the drug must have been ingested accidentally twice.
So he's saying the dog didn't sniff it up then?
The Class A drug is believed to have a similar impact on dogs as it would on humans. Well, my only question is, how would the dog know which way to run if it was high on cocaine?
It's chasing a rabbit, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what we thought.
What the dog was chasing, who knows? And that's a true story.
Brilliant.
Yes?
Oh, that's... Where did you get that from?
One has one sources.
Yeah. HP and what?
We're following the FA Cup. Tony and I have decided to choose a team right in August when the FA Cup is how we like it with amateur teams. So we both chose a team. He went with the nearest team to Newark, which turned out to be Renneth. Well, in his world it did.
With my geography.
I chose one that was nearest to my grandchildren, and that turned out to be Whitley Bay.
Right.
So we're following them, and whoever beats them are going to be our team in the FA Cup, with the only proviso is if any of them get drawn against Derby, all this finishes, because I refuse point blank to support Derby.
I'd support them.
Yeah, not on my show you won't.
Not my watch.
I can just about cope with dirty leads.
So has the competition started?
The competition has started, and up in the northeast, Whitley Bay won the first two rounds before getting beat by a team called Newcastle Benfield. And it means absolutely nothing to anybody listening to this, but now they play Ashton United in the next round, which is Saturday, by the way. Shepshed Dynamo, which is your side, they beat Renneth and you're still with them. They play Nantwich Town. Now, yeah. Nantwich Town play Grantham Town normally, and they're in that Evo Stick North. So I think your Shepshed's got a lot of work on. And you might be supporting Nant, which I think is in Cheshire, gentlemen.
It is, yeah.
Cheshire. Yeah.
Where's Shepshed then?
Leicestershire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see, you get the not fast runners in, and they know where everywhere is. They go everywhere.
But not fast.
AFC Mansfield are still in it.
Oh, yeah.
They play Rushall. No idea. They play Rushall.
Staffordshire.
Basford United are still in it. They play Micklover. Yes, I know, Derbyshire. Grantham Town play Alvechurch. Now that's down near the M5, isn't it, towards Tewkesbury? Because I went through it on my way on my holidays. Tie of the round.
A Grantham at home?
Yes.
Good.
Tie of the round, Salford City against York City.
Oh.
York City, of course, current trophy holders, even though they did get relegated from the conference.
Ooh,
against the money bags that are Salford City. So that's the tie of the round, isn't it?
I was at York City on Bank Holiday Monday to see FC United of Manchester. And FC United were about third from bottom of the Vanarama North. And York City were in fourth position. And FC stuffed them 2-0. Salford City battered FC United when I saw their game at Broadhurst, so...
You know, and this round, the winners get 4,500 each.
Mm.
So you're talking about, to an amateur football club, like Baysford, AFC Mansfield in particular, $4,500 on for one football match.
That sets you for the season, doesn't it?
It sets them going for a long time, don't it?
Mm.
That's how important that is.
Does that sum double each round?
I don't think it doubles, but it does...
Yeah.
It does go up.
Yeah.
I don't think it does. So there we are this weekend. I'm looking out for Newcastle Benfield. Tony's looking out for Shepshed Dynamo. And we will let you know sometime next week who's got what and where we're going. I should send him to the ground, really, shouldn't I? Give me some peace and quiet.
Well, as I say, me and Jim Mackay are doing a book next season, doing exactly the same thing.
Hang on, I've got a recording somewhere where you said this last season.
No, but definitely we are next season.
He was doing a book of the FA Cup travels, and they was going to every FA Cup game. It starts at the beginning of August. They was going there. And then he realised, because he's also an umpire, he realised, hang on a minute, umpires, cricket's in summer, the FA Cup starts in summer. I can't do that.
But next season, we're definitely going ahead with it.
So he's packing in umpiring?
Because we didn't realise that both Jim's team as captain of the second 11 and my first 11 team were going to be so successful.
This is cricket team, isn't it?
Yeah.
11.
Yeah.
Which is another way of saying if there wasn't success, it would have ditched him and gone off and done something else.
Right.
Dear, no moral fibre. Right, still to come. Coming up next, our runner of the week. And it's not fast. And it's not Striders. There you go. And our guide to weekend sport. And we finally found out what the Pont and Plod is all about. Welcome back. And it's time for our first Runner of the Week award for the new season. And it doesn't go to Not Fast. And it doesn't go to Striders. And it doesn't go to Newark Athletic Club. It actually, in a roundabout way, goes to Newark Hockey Club, because welcome to Radio Newark, or welcome back to Radio Newark, live from the Bolton Scout Group Scout Night, Catherine Hawkins. Catherine, good evening.
Good evening, hello.
We've interrupted scouts, haven't we?
We have, yes. It's a bit chaotic in the scout hall at the moment, but me and the two scouts have come outside, so we've left them inside the hall.
well, do thank everybody for letting us sort of take over scouts for 10 minutes. Catherine, you came in last week and spoke to Aidy Crampton on the Drive show. You was going up to do the Great North Run.
I was, yeah. I was. I went up to Newcastle on Sunday to take part, along with nearly 60,000 other people.
Are you a runner normally, or is this just something you wanted to do? Because I know you was raising funds for a fantastic cause.
I was raising money for the Scout Association, and what had happened was I'd just seen a tweet about they were looking for people to take part and to raise money for the organisation, and I thought, why not? I'll give it a go. I'm definitely not a runner. Obviously, as you said, I play hockey, so I do some running, but I'm not the sort of person that kind of goes out for long distance runs on a regular basis.
So how did you find your big running debut?
I actually, in a perverse kind of way, I did actually enjoy it. I thought it was a great experience. It was slightly daunting standing on the start line with all those people there, but once you got started, and by the time you finally crossed the start line, the kind of the atmosphere and the crowd just kind of carried you along.
What time did you do it in?
In just under 2 hours 5 minutes.
Excellent.
Which
I mean, it's a wonderful place to go. They're so friendly up there, and it, you know, it's an absolutely wonderful place to go. I've got the hierarchy of Knotfast in the studio listening to this, and they're signing up papers I've got out for you already. So be a bit, if you see a yellow shirt, be a little bit careful.
Okay.
Do you know yet how much you've raised?
At the moment, I've raised just over £400. The fundraising page is still open, so there's still time for any more sponsorships to come in. But that's what I've got so far.
Now, that's only part of the story, though, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Obviously, me going up to Newcastle was quite an individual thing, and we wanted the rest of the group to kind of be able to get involved and not just by kind of watching it on the telly. So we arranged a sponsored run for the young people of our scout group to take part in.
So while you was running over the Tyne Bridge, they was running in Balderton.
They were. Yep.
Fantastic. And you've got a couple of them with you.
I do, yeah.
We have Edward and we have Reece. So I'm going to put Edward on first for me.
Yep, here's Edward. Hello.
Hello, Edward. Thank you for talking to Radio Newark. She did very well, didn't she?
Yes.
She really did. Now, while Catherine was running around Newcastle, what was you doing?
I was running around the Balderton block.
And you was also raising money, but you was raising money just for your scout group?
Yes.
And how many of you was doing it, Edward?
12 of us were doing it.
That's brilliant. And did you get any support? Was there anybody out there shouting well done and things like that?
Kind of. There was a couple of people.
That's wonderful. And do you know how much money you've raised?
I don't know how much I personally raised, but...
The money's still coming in.
Yeah.
Edward, I think that's what you did to support Catherine was absolutely fantastic. And Reece is there as well. And Reece also did it, I understand.
Yes, he did.
Okay, so let's have a quick word with Reece.
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Reece. You was also running at the same time as Catherine was running then.
Yeah, I was. You ran the block.
Why did you do it?
Well, it was just to raise money for the scout group. And it was like, every lap you did, you got like a bottle, like a bottle top, and then you could, like, the people, then you should, like, try to do as many laps as you can.
Brilliant.
To raise money.
Scouts in Balderton, is it good?
Yeah.
You enjoyed it? How many of you is there?
About 30.
That's a big scout troop still, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. And what are you up to tonight?
We don't really know because it's just like the beginning of the scouts and we got took out.
Well, you got took out to talk on the radio. What could be better than that? Reece, well done, mate. Thank you for talking to us, and thank Edward as well, can you? And can you put Catherine back on the phone for a final word?
Okay. Hello.
Hello, Catherine. You must be very proud of them.
I am. I mean, it's a great thing for them to kind of support me as well as kind of raising money for the group as well.
Just change subjects a little bit. Hockey. Are you hockeying again this year?
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, I haven't been around for the pre-season friendly so far because of being obviously up in Newcastle. So, yeah, looking forward to the start of the season coming up in the next few weeks.
The ladies are looking good, and Paul Halfpenny says, watch our ladies' teams. He thinks all of them are going to do very well this season.
Yeah, well, it's a good setup, and I think there's a lot of good players. So, and we're obviously working hard to kind of build hockey in Newark. So, the future's looking good, I think.
It is. So, whatever you're doing, running or playing hockey, Catherine, I'm sure we'll catch up with you in the next few weeks. I'll let you and the scouts get back to scouting that. But well done, and you are our first Radio Newark Runner of the Week for the new season.
Thank you very much.
There you go. That's an accolade you didn't think you was going to get.
It's not. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. It's nice, Jeremy, isn't it, when somebody like Catherine, who's not a runner, gets in the Great North Run, does it, raises £400 plus for the Scout Association, but at the end of the day, says, I enjoyed that.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, she is a runner because she obviously can run.
Do it, so yeah. She must, yes.
And it's not an easy course, so it was a very, very good time there, very respectful, and given the sheer volume of people running as well, yes. But it is. It shows that you can do it, and raising funds is often a lot of reasons why people do actually run these races and enter these races.
The Great North Run is effectively a half marathon, is it?
It's a half, yes.
It's a 60,000 people and a half marathon. It is a lot of people in a very short... What are you shaking your head at?
I did the race and I was sadly disappointed with it because of the volume of people, and you've only got that 13 and a half miles.
Yeah.
And so for the first 10 miles, you're just getting kicked from behind you and you know, yeah. kicking people in front.
Well, that's what I was going to say. She's got to be claustrophobic.
Did very well to have got that time because you're because you get clogged up at the back. But for me, and I'm following your line though, is that it's an event. You raise money and you do run it. But it is a challenge and it is a hard course. Mm. Mm. But a lot of people probably wouldn't have got up to their proper running pace.
Yeah.
But it's an event and it attracts a lot of attention. Unless you're an elite runner, you're not going to have that tarmac in front of you to run onto.
It's one of those that I've done the Great North Run, not I've got a personal best. You can have put a tick on the Great North Run box.
It is a great occasion, and it was wonderful running across the Tyne Bridge, or waddling across the Tyne Bridge, getting brutally assaulted on all sides across the Tyne Bridge. But it is a great occasion, and the support you get from the people, as you say, the Geordie people know how to give you backing in buckets.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
I've never done the event myself because the same reason, there's too many people and you can't really get going. But I mean, I think Catherine did a fantastic time.
Yeah.
You know, not been a runner to do that sort of time with those sort of crowds.
I think it's a
fantastic achievement.
Yeah.
It's been up there and doing it. Right, let's have a look at a few stories that... we may have missed in the national headlines.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs.
Tennis star Maria Sharapova, who was banned from the sport for 15 months for doping, probably about that dog, yeah, has hit back at her critics, saying they don't have the facts. The former world number one suspended last year when she admitted taking a banned substance. She's been criticised by fellow players who said that she should not be allowed to return. Your mic down. Red Bull are set to split with engine partner Renault at the end of the 2018 Formula One season. You see, we talk all sports, including Formula One. Multiple sources have told the BBC. Renault have said they no longer want to supply them after next season. While the move has not been officially confirmed, the divorce is almost certain. 7 people have been arrested in connection with a missing £10.25 million loan to Northampton Town Football Club. A statement from the Northampton Police said it was an investigation, allegations of theft, fraud and bribery, misconduct in a public office. The Northampton Borough Council loan was made in 2013 to develop Sixfields Stadium. Well, that obviously hasn't happened, has it? The Football Association sent a video to FIFA in a bid to prove that Dele Alli's middle finger gesture was aimed at England teammate Kyle Walker and not an official or an opponent. Television pictures showed the gesture during the 2-1 qualifying victory over Slovakia last week. The world governing bodies has opened proceedings against Ali, who said it was a joke with a good friend, Walker. And finally, Manchester United's Paul Pogba is set to be out between a month and 6 weeks with a hamstring injury he sustained during Tuesday's Champions League victory.
Radio Newark Sport, brought to you with Smith's Timber Merchants for all your fencing, decking and DIY needs on Appleton Gate, Newark. Visit smithstimber.co.uk.
You're listening to Radio Newark Sport on your wireless with me and a giggling Tony Smith.
I just think it's a very good job you pointed out that Northampton Town financial situation was alleged.
Oh, it was alleged.
Because it could prove to be cobblers.
I'm not the one that signed him up. I'm not. I told him it was on at 8 o'clock at night. Our producer signed him. You've been thinking about that one, haven't you? Right.
Gift.
It's time to get serious, and I need to find out what the Ponton Plod is all about. There's only one man to tell. There's Stuart's in the studio. We've got to get that mic, just move it around. That's it. That's the spirit. And come right up to it, Stuart, if you would, because
okay,
this is your big moment. This weekend, the whole of Newark athletes seem to descend on somewhere south of Grantham, called Ponton, a village I know, but for the Ponton Plod. And I understand now that sort of Knotfast have taken over the marshalling or the control or whatever. So I need to know is why a Newark-based athletic club is running something 20 miles down south. Stuart, what is the Ponton Plod? Let's have the history.
The answer to your second question or earlier question was that I've been a member for Knotfast since it first started. And going back to the Ponton Plod, my wife and I have done it for 9 years. We had 1 year when we didn't do it, but we do find that just for the two of us to do it, it's far too much work for us. So being a member of Knotfast, I said to the Knotfast, does the club want to get involved and virtually take it over? And obviously after committee meeting discussions, it was agreed that Knotfast would take it over.
So let's go right back to the beginning, because this is an event where I would confidently expect the vast majority of the Knotfast personnel to be there. And if I know the Striders as well, there's going to be plenty of orange shirts there. There's not. Come on, no. Striders, get to Ponton.
Yeah. We have one entry from a Strider.
Oh, come on, Striders.
Which is appalling, really, isn't it?
Come on. Dear. They're all saving themselves for the Robin Hood Marathon. Take me back to the history then. What was the idea behind the Ponton?
Well, I've always done a lot of long-distance challenge events, usually marathon distance or thereabouts, and I just felt that it was probably time to put something back in for all the good walks I've had and try and organise a walk round here so that, obviously people can enjoy the countryside round here and run it or walk it. I mean, they are basically organised as challenge walks, but as many of them are now, they're open to runners as well, because just to do it for walkers to enter is not financially viable. So it's always open to runners as well, and most of the events, including the Ponton Plod, usually ends up with a 50-50 split between runners and walkers.
Because walking is your thing, really.
It is, yes. I mean, I've been with Knotfast a long while, but I do find that running gets harder, and I'm not saying that walking gets easier. It gets less difficult than running, though.
Yes, but Tony, he doesn't walk like me and you would walk.
Oh, no.
When I get the reports, it's a sort of a 24-hour or a 100-mile or something. What? You know, it's unbelievable. We'll talk about that on another night.
Yes,
I'm going to get you back to talk about the walking.
Yes, yes.
The walking. But so that was the brainchild behind it. Get something going for the village.
Yeah, so we started it in 2007. Obviously, you've got to find a suitable route or routes, because there's more than one distance, a suitable location to start it from, somewhere big enough, somewhere with adequate toilet facilities as well, always an important thing. And it started, and we looked round, and Great Ponton came up as an ideal starting place. So from having located the start, then it was sort the routes out, which we did do, and we have two routes to start with. We had a 27-mile and a 17-mile, and then later on, a couple of years later, we put a 12-mile one on, hoping to attract probably local walkers, someone who couldn't do 27 or 17, but probably could adequately do 12. But although we've got one or two walkers doing the 12, or we gained in the early years one or two walkers doing the 12, it attracted a lot of club runners to do a 12-mile. So it did pay off, it did work okay, but not for the reasons that we originally imagined it would do.
So this thing basically grew.
It's grown and grown. I think we had about 100 entries in the first year, and we were up to about 250 entries last year. Unfortunately, we do seem to have dropped a few this year, but there are other events locally on both the Saturday and the Sunday this weekend.
It's a massive weekend of sport, really.
It is. So we've obviously kind of clashed with other events, so obviously people can't do two events on the same day, so...
So you come to basically Jeremy and the Not Fast Gang, and basically, can you help us? Was that the
And I mean, yes, you know, it's worked well. I mean, one of the ladies, Jill Good, she's taken on the role of doing the catering, because it's traditional to serve some good homemade food at the checkpoints about every 6 miles on the route. And
he'll be there.
The tradition at the end is homemade soup and apple pie, which is what Kath, my wife, used to do. So, I mean, that was obviously a big thing for her, baking gallons of soup and masses of apple pies, but Jill has very good taken over sort of thing, and with her help and a lot of the volunteers on the, mainly on the ladies' side, I'll say, but I'm sure some of the men, well, I know certainly one man has come step forward and been baking cakes as well.
Good stuff.
So there should be plenty of variety of cakes at all the checkpoints. I believe it might be said that you'll end up at the end of the event way more than you did when you started the event.
Sounds like your sort of event.
Yeah. And as I say, there'll be soup and apple pie, the tradition there at the finish, and probably even other things to sample at the finish as well.
So Jeremy, then, when Stuart came along and said, can you help, and you're at the sort of back end of a long, hard season with the half marathon and your own 10K, which is takes a lot of organising, how many seconds did it take you to think before you said yes?
Not too long, because it is an event we're very much aware of, and it's a different type of event. So it's a long distance walking, but a lot of runners enter it to, and it's across public footpaths, so it's field and track, and it's not all road, a little bit of road, but yeah, so not long really, because it was an event which also raises money for charity, which goes to the various charitable things.
And of course, just to interrupt, that Not Fast have helped enormously on the day over the past few years anyway, so they've been heavily involved in helping on the day itself.
Yeah, and it would be a shame to have lost it. And I think if we had to have taken it over, another local club would have probably taken it over, and we couldn't allow that.
So, it's the three events.
Yes, three distances.
So the 27-mile, that is still that predominantly a walk, or can, if you want to run it, if you...
Well, it's even on that, there's probably a 50-50 split between runners and walkers. I mean, just looking back at last year, a guy, Neil Sunderland, from Traffic Light Harriers, and I'm not sure where they're based, he did it in 3 hours 44, which for a kind of a trail off-road run is quite
very,
a quick time.
Good,
Yeah.
So it must take a bit of marking out.
Well, today we did the 17 miles of the 27 mile course. Right. So yeah, so it took us quite a while. That's why we're looking rather dishevelled and weary. And tomorrow I've got to go out with Stuart again and do 8 miles or something.
I'm forcing to do more miles tomorrow.
Well, it sounded like a good idea at the time when I said, can you come along with me and do a bit of the course? I didn't realise he meant 17 miles. But yes.
You obviously need and get the support of the local farmers.
Yes, we do. I mean, we always make a great, a great deal sort of thing, but we always contact the farmers because although mainly it is public footpaths, is probably for a group of ramblers of probably 12, 15 people, not for probably anything up to 200 people tramping down a foot. So we always kind of contact the landowners and make sure that they're in agreement, and not just landowners, some, you know, several people who have probably got remote cottages on farmland sort of thing. We usually try and liaise with them, you know, especially if they've got livestock around of their own, which one lady's got horses and chickens running around, so we always liaise there to make sure there's no problem there.
Yeah, I mean, from the outside of it, this sounds easy, don't it? You know, you just mark out the course, you go and run it, but it's far from easy, isn't it?
There's an awful lot of work involved from start to finish. Because not, you know, you've obviously got to put all the markers out, but then you've got the job of going around and taking them all out again, because you don't want to kind of litter the countryside or leave markers up all over the place. So.
And you can't upset any of the landowners because next year.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yes, yeah. you've got to to really kind of make sure that everything goes well.
I presume it's not something you can do by car either, is it?
No, I mean, the section we've done today, you couldn't do by car. Part of what we're doing tomorrow is on probably partly road or a little bit of road, but quite a bit on decent quality farm tracks.
He's explained it to me that he'll park at the end of a path, and he says, I'll send you a couple of miles down there, and you'll find me at the other end when you put the marker halfway down. Yes. Obviously delegation, isn't it?
Well, unless he was light, I could say what the whole lot.
I've
been generous there, Jeremy.
on the other hand, Tony, of course, if you was Neil Myson and John O'Lee, you could do it by car.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, I did hear.
Or at least attempt it.
At least attempt to do it by car.
Is there something important?
No! Right, that's 27 miles.
Yes.
Then how many people do you think you're going to get doing that?
27 at the moment. We have got... sorry for the hesitation.
You're all right.
We've got 49 entries at the moment.
Excellent.
For that.
Should also say that a lot of people run it, a lot of people walk it, but a lot of people do running and walking. Because on those distances and that sort of event, we call walking sensible running. So.
I was going to say...
I do a lot of sensible running.
Yeah, to the car.
Yeah.
But if you... When you say walking, is it leisurely walking or is it the sort of Olympic walking?
You'll get both. You'll get people who do the... kind of really put the pressure on because they want to do a good time. Huh. Or you'll also get people who just want to do it as a nice leisurely walk. I mean, we do have a 10-hour time limit. So on the 27 mile, you've got to be keeping up a reasonable pace to do it in 10 hours. But obviously on the 17 mile route, not quite so much pressure to do that in 10 hours. So that is a better one for just having a nice leisurely stroll, if you like, and enjoying the countryside.
I'm not sure about the walking, but the soup and apple pie sounds good.
yes, it's usually gone down well at the end of a long day's walking or running. So.
When you do the walk, the run, there are checkpoints where you get a little stamp. So, Tony, if you arrive with your stamp or empty, no apple pie.
There's always a catch in these things, isn't there?
And they're coded, so you can't look at last year's.
Well, I'm sure if you'd like to come along, Tony, and just see what happens on the day, I'm sure we might be able to provide you with a portion of soup and apple pie.
You stand no chance of that. Okay, that's the 27.
Yes.
Next one down.
17.
He's 17. Yep. Same principle?
Yes, exactly the same, yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it just obviously part of the route is common to the 27. It obviously just cuts off a little bit sooner and then links up together for the last 7 miles.
Well, I've done the event twice, both times entering the 17. The first time, the 17 turned out to be 20 miles because I took the wrong turning. But the second time was better. I did 17 miles, so I was pleased with that. Yeah.
Well, there'll be no excuse for wrong turnings this time, will they?
No. Not at all. Markers out.
Yeah.
I've yet to find out why he kind of went wrong somewhere. Was the arrow in the wrong place or what? But,
no, the arrow's in the right place. I just didn't see it.
But very similar to one of the guys several years ago who ended up doing 30-odd miles, and he rang me up and was saying, well, I've obviously gone wrong somewhere because I've ended up now, he was near towards the end, but he said, I've ended up at the first checkpoint on the 12-mile route. Where have I gone wrong? So I had to scratch my head for a little while and kind of ask a few more questions and realised. I said, well, when you got to the bottom of that track, which way did you go, left or right? Ah, right. I says, that's where you went wrong.
Mistake.
If you look at the instructions, it says turn left. So he did finish and apologise at the finish.
And 12 miles, which I assume is probably the most popular.
No. They're very similar splits between them. So
excellent.
So yes, it's the same.
Ponton, for the uninitiated, where is Great Ponton?
Ponton, as in Great Ponton, yes.
Where is Great Ponton?
Great Ponton is about 3 miles south of Grantham, right at the side of the A1, so very easily accessible for anyone getting to the start. It's 400 yards off the A1. So
it's right at the side of the East Coast mainland. If you want to talk railways for 10 minutes, I'll talk about Great Ponton.
It is, yes. Very close to the railway line, yes.
RHP Saturday side actually played
He's got them in again!
At Great Ponton last season. Yeah. And got
in one of your three league matches. Right. Can people still enter?
Yes.
If they want to, can they enter on the morning?
There's online entries with SI entries, and they're open till midnight tonight. Postal entries actually close today, so unless you pop it through somebody's letterbox today, which was probably a little bit late, but yes, entries are available on the day. We do charge an extra few pounds for entries on the day, just to cover the last minute sort of thing. But yes, just roll up on the day. The 17 and 27 mile start at 8:30, and it's a 9:30 start for the 12. So if you are thinking of coming, and we would like to think that one or two of you may come and enter, please be there half an hour before the start time to
still
give yourself
dark.
Time to register, etc.
It's dark at that time in the morning.
No,
on a
it's
Sunday.
Not. No, it's light. I should be there just before 7 o'clock, and Christ. It will be light then.
That's key, and it's a brilliant. I love some of these names of these things that you all go to. I really do love the name, but the Ponton Plod just. Is nice. What is
it,
that?
It seems to be very much a tradition.
Is that one of your names, Stuart?
Yeah, but it's
you're the brainchild behind the name.
Well, we're starting from Ponton. We thought, well, can we incorporate Ponton in the name, as a lot of the events are called? But you often get there's one called the Stanage Stumble, the Purbeck Plod, the Dorset Doddle.
And you've done them all, haven't you?
They're all for that trend sort of thing. Of the same initial letter.
Oh, it's lovely. Anybody going out there? Enjoy. We'll obviously report on it because Simon was sending his Not Fast report, and it's going to be all about the Ponton Plod this weekend. What we're going to do in a couple of minutes is tell you what else is going off over what looks like a very busy couple of days. Right, what's on this weekend? And a very busy weekend starts on Friday with Olivia Mathias, and she's wearing number 12 if you're watching on television in Rotterdam, representing Great Britain in the World Junior Elite Triathlon Championships. So, of course, Olivia now still a member of New York Athletic Club, but right up there on top of the world stage when it comes to triathlon. As I keep saying, Olivia's next. Okay, so that's that one. And on Sunday, at the same competition, Tim Bagley, another member of New York Athletic Club, competes for GB in the 30 to 34 age group section in the World Sprint Triathlon, a 750 metre swim, a 20k bike ride and a 5k run. Same distances as what Olivia Mathias is doing, but we think a different course. We've sent one of our athletic correspondents over to Rotterdam on an all-expenses-paid weekend.
Have we?
Yes. Gareth Bagley's over there. He's actually going to do some officiating while he's over there and look at his son on the Sunday. But realistically, he's representing Radio Newark. That's what we've told him. The check's in the post, Gareth. That's Friday. It is on television. Try and catch up with Olivia because she is a superstar. Mm. Also on Friday, as I mentioned at the top of the shop, Newark Flow Server played 6 in the league, won 6 in the league, sitting top of the Notts Senior League. They're away to Gedling South Bank. That game's being played under lights at Calverton Miners Welfare with a 7:45 kickoff. All welcome to get along there to support Clay Groach and the boys. So that's your Friday night. Saturday, Newark Rugby Club looking for a first win. They played an NLD Cup match and lost. They played a league match and lost. This is the RFU Shield national competition. They're away to Oakham. Well, of course, Oakham, big reputation of a rugby school. But who knows? Newark may come back with a victory that Rob Wildman told us last week they very nearly got at Drumfield. We'll see. On to Sunday.
Is that Rob Wildman, the athletic gazelle?
Yes. You like that, didn't you?
Yeah.
On to Sunday. It's the Newark Tennis Club Singles Tournament. They're behind the old Lillian Stone Grove site, whatever you like to call it, Tory Penny's how old you are, high school on London Road. That's their singles tournament. Get along down to that. They would love your support. It's the first round of the Notts Cross Country Mini League. Newark Athletic Club youngsters traditionally do so well in that competition. That's always at Retford. That's about 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. All three of the Newark Rugby Girls teams play their first match of the season, 18s, 15s and 13s, all the way to Mansfield. Expect three victories on that one, no problem whatsoever. So that's them for the weekend. Both Saturday and Sunday, it's swimming at Ponds Forge. That's wrong, because on Saturday it's the Robin Hood Open meeting at Ponds Forge, and Sunday it's a bit of a closed meeting. But whatever day it is, our swimmers are going to be out there for us. I think, Tony, this is possibly the busiest weekend that we've had for a long time in sport.
I'm certainly glad I'm not at the Advertiser anymore. That sounds like a busy week after it.
So there's going to be a lot to talk about, and the one I didn't mention is the one we've been talking about for the last half hour, the Pont and Plod. And Stuart can give us one more plug for it. You can turn up on the day down the A1, follow the signpost for Ponton, just south of Grantham. Stuart, give us the times again, if you would.
Times, the 17 and the 27 mile, they start at 8:30, and the 12 mile starts at 9:30, an hour later.
You're welcome to go there and book on the day, but he does advise you, if you're going to do that, please get there early. And he's given me another form, which I can't possibly understand, so I'll let Stuart tell you all about it. Stuart or Jeremy can
just
tell you.
Just that anyone wants any more information on it, we have a website, which is www.thepontandplod.co.uk, and you'll find more information about the event on there.
So there you go, the Pont and Plod. Doctor, don't forget the at the front of it, else you won't
just
find them.
Just Google Pont and Plod and it'll come up.
Is this a busy time for Not Fast then, Jeremy? I mean, I know the summer season is finishing now. Does it down a little bit?
There's no season for runners.
No.
So, yes, it is busy, because we've got, in fact, the Nottingham Marathon and Half Marathon coming up, Robin Hood, and that's the county championship this year. And then we move into the cross country. As you say, the Athletic Club juniors have gone into their first one. So, yeah, and there's quite a lot of races on as well, half marathons and stuff.
It's the Robin Hood, is that next weekend?
Yes, it is.
So that's the marathon and the half marathon. So we've got a lot of entries there. And then generally in athletics going across, you've got the run-up for the elite runners coming into the Commonwealth Games and all the other stuff going on next year. So,
do you prefer the road running of the Newark Half or the Robin Hood, or do you like the Pont and Plods and get across the fields? And
no, I do like the cross country. There's nothing better than running through fields with that sort of farmyard puddles and stuff like that. And go through that. It's actually excellent training for the summer season, and it builds up the immune system for a variety of reasons, and it strengthens you, and it actually pushes you quite a lot, and it's great fun.
It's funny, really, because all you know, Becky Gallup and Amber Owens, they always say, oh, we love cross country, it's great fun. I think, you know, the summer's serious, winter is fun. Anyway, gents, thank you so much for coming in, telling us all about the Pont and Plod, and we'll tell everybody else about it the beginning of next week. Our shows from Monday and Tuesday are already on the website, the podcast, so there's no excuse for not listening to them again, or for the first time if that's what you want to do. Already lined up for next week's shows, as well as Mr. Smith, we have, deep breath, Craig Roach, Rob Wardman, Paul Halfpenny, Alan Swain, Andrew Lowe, Ashley Richardson and Rhiann Nolan-Davis, a couple of young Notts cricketers, Mark Dobb and Amber Owens. I think next week could just be a little bit on the busy side.